From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. I did it.
You did.
Andrew's back this week. How
are
you?
It's been a while. I've been busy.
Yeah.
Bit of sickness, bit of work.
A lot of work. Trying to get Redstone 2 out.
Creators update out the door.
Creators update, that's what we're calling it.
So,
Creators update.
We're in the end game now. Getting close to the...
Getting very close.
Getting close to the end. Yeah, keeping busy. Telling people to fix their flaws.
You were going to say something else and you said flaws.
I did censor myself.
Right. Well, we can read between the lines there. So what do you got for us this week?
So I was just playing around with the Creators update. Obviously, you know, very, very standard thing is for everybody in Windows to have a build that's only days old or even hours old. And I mean, I get an OS update nearly daily. Mm-hmm. You see the Windows insiders get it maybe weekly. Mm-hmm. And it's because, you know, people like me have run it for 7 days and then we go, yeah, it looks pretty solid versus previous builds, and out the door it goes.
Give it a thumbs up.
And so you see all these new features.
Yeah.
Right? And then, and particularly when they release these things, they, you know, they get sent out emails saying, hey, this build's got this new feature. You know, give it a test, give it a whirl, and enjoy it.
Early feedback.
And one of the things that happened, and it's kind of correlated to the PowerShell 10-year anniversary, is PowerShell's kind of come of age.
Yeah.
Right? You know, its feature parodies, quite frankly, you know, 99.9% of CMD, plus what it does more as well on top of that.
Right, it's always had its whole superset of functionality.
And they did a couple of things. Like, I was talking to Jeffrey Snover about this, and we'll hopefully get him in one day. They changed the boot performance. They tweaked it so that they don't do as much pre-loading of command state. So, you know, that tab experience. And so now, you know, the boot speed is on par with CMD. And so there's very little reason, from a performance reason, from a memory footprint, from a functionality point of view, that PowerShell isn't the number one shell, right?
Right.
But it's not really the only shell, though. So I know myself, you know, I use the Git Bash shell. I sometimes use a Visual Studio 2015 command prompt, which has a whole lot of additional environment variables.
And that's based on CMD.
Yeah. And the one reason I use CMD these days is rmdir //q, which is one of the very, 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 very few commands that doesn't exist in PowerShell.
//q.
//q?
What? Oh.
/S/Q.
Oh, I misunderstood. /S/Q. Okay. /S/Q.
So what happens?
Right, which blows away a whole subtree without.
Which happens a lot. So we regularly pull down the entire Windows source code tree, or 1 million plus files, or whatever it is, and it's one of those things you just don't want to do in Explorer. It's just too slow to cull, right?
It's too slow. It has to count up all the files, estimate the time remaining.
It's gigabytes of files.
Who wants to mess with that?
And so you just start a command prompt rolling with that, and then walk away, and then half an hour later on an SSD, it's finally finished, right?
Right.
And so it's one of the very, points. It's one of those few commands that I still use. And so, there's been this feature for a long, long time where you can do open command prompt here.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
And so if we go to the
useful. I always forget to use it, but it's when I remember, it's like super convenient. Yeah.
And so one of the things that happened in the change to PowerShell is I found out actually there's a couple of variants of this that I didn't know existed.
Okay.
So there's been this tech out and these features in the shell that I didn't know existed. So for example, I'm just in my dumps folder. It just doesn't really matter where you are. There's two things I didn't realize. There's actually two context menus. If you right-click, or actually there's four. If you right-click on the dumps, or on a folder, that's like the node, you'll get this tree, right? But if I do the blank space of the folder, you get a different tree.
Right?
They're actually different registry keys. And then the other variant is, you'll notice that this doesn't have open command prompt here in anywhere. But if I hold down shift, you'll get the additional ones, and then open command prompt, command window here turns up,
right? If you hold shift and right click.
Yeah, and the same thing goes in here, you get it in here. If I do this now, then the command prompt will open in the dumps folder, right?
Now, are we on creators update this?
No, this is actually RS1. So
this is RS1.
So actually, it's kind of showing the
anniversary update.
So this one is defaulting to command window. In RS2, in the creators update, it will say open PowerShell here.
Okay,
right. Now, one of the things we had this discussion internally about well, why don't you have all the shells? Why don't you have one shell? Should you honor the user's preference? And one of the slight problems is with that key is it's a system-wide key. And so if you go into the taskbar settings, there's this setting down here whether you want to have PowerShell as the default thing or not.
Right.
So I can't remember the sequence, but at the moment, say it's off. When I do Windows X, you'll notice it's command prompt. But if I turn it on, it will change to PowerShell.
Right.
Now, this is a user setting. So it's not a security context where it can change this registry key, right?
Okay.
So the two of them are disconnected. You go, oh, what? Shouldn't they be the same? Well, no, because one's a computer setting and one's a user setting.
Oh, I see.
Right? And there is, and it will toggle the ones up here. And you'll notice that this one actually has both, right? So there's a little bit of, you know, difference in their approach.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that I kind of wanted all the prompts all the time. And the big one two things I want is I don't want to have to hold shift down.
Okay.
Right? Because that's kind of annoying for, you know, it's for something I use quite commonly.
Super, yeah, it's kind of hidden.
And the big one that's missing is I can't run this elevated.
So, oh, right.
So when UAC got invented, everything got dropped down to, you know, a normal user.
Yep.
And you used to be able to like shift, right click these things hold down shift when you clicked it and stuff.
Right.
Well, it doesn't work.
Right.
So we're missing two things. We're missing the ability to see more than one prompt, and particularly I want to see command prompts and PowerShell at the minimum, but also want to see bash and git and all these other things, right?
Right.
And I want to get it off the extended menu and I want it onto the primary one.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have a look at how this works. We'll bring up regedit. Now I can tell you that there is there's two ways of getting to this. At the directory level, so where we are is we're in classes root.
Yep.
And there's a class called directory, which represents a directory.
Which is like a folder in Explorer.
A folder. There's also a drive one. So you'll notice that this shell key is what makes context menus. And I'm going to jump down to the WinDBG example very soon, and I'll show you that. But if we look at there, and then if we look at drive, drive's got lot of kind of different ones, like all the ones to do with BitLocker, you know, encrypt the drive, unencrypt the drive.
Okay, so these are all the right-click kind of menu options. Okay.
And you can see there's the command prompt one, and there's the PowerShell one, so that exists at the drive level, and I'm kind of more interested in the directory level. Here's the command prompt, and here's the PowerShell,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, you'll actually notice that this actually has got PowerShell on it. There's a system in Windows called Velocity, which turns features on and off. It's experiments. So currently, there's an experiment that has the command prompt experiment turned on, and the PowerShell is turned off. So we actually can turn these on and off dynamically. It's not we don't have to send out weird scripts to change your registry, right? Both exist. It's a configuration setting, and that's what happened in Creators Update. We just changed the preference the other way.
Okay.
It's not that the keys aren't there. It's just that they're not active, right? So no matter really what you do is you really can't stop that from working, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is these are all owned by Trusted Installer. And even though you could go in as be a super god and take ownership and stuff, that's not a wise decision.
Oh, to like manually change these registry keys?
Yeah.
I always get sketched.
That's too
kind of sketchy when you got to change it and it's like, oh, you don't have permissions.
If an administrator doesn't have permissions,
you're
too far off the reservation.
That's usually a good sign you should just back off.
All right. So what I'm going to do is go through a sequence of steps and show you how to enhance this. And the goal is, and I've written a blog post about this, which we'll link to, is to end up in this situation.
Okay.
Where we end up with not only menus, but a elevated and non-elevated way of doing it in a very clean way with nice icons and everything else, right? Which actually is a lot more than we've ever shown on the show. So I'm going to start from the basics and build us up to this. So this takes a long way. This is a lot of registry text get there, right?
Okay.
So we'll go through the whole sequence, and then hopefully as we go along, you'll kind of get the gist. So let's start from the start. I'm going to start at the file level because I think it's more intuitive and more easier to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm going to do is look up for .dmp. So whenever there's a DMP file, this is what's going to happen. And at the moment, a lot of these things are deferred. Like you go to one and it points to the next thing, right?
Right.
So this one says on DMP, go to this WinDBG dump file. And this is something we've done over the years in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, I think I've also dot MDMP. Yeah.
Same thing.
So there's like three or four, I think KDMPs, whatever else we've done it for. They're all funneling into one configuration, which makes it way easier. I don't have to dupe this information over and over again, right?
Right.
It's a nice abstraction layer. And the same thing is true of directories, and we'll go through that when we get there. So once we get there, general description of what this is. You'll note this default keyword. It's a very special key. Watch what I do. If this is... Just be wary of that I'm using the default key. It's not a key that you're making. It's like a blank one. It's the @ in a registry file. Mm-hmm. Here's the icon we're doing. We're pulling out of the executable and we're pulling out ID -3002.
Right.
We won't go into that today. And then the way that the menu works is you just make these what's called the shell key,
mm-hmm.
which is roughly the context menu, and then these verbs.
Right.
Any name if you want, I can call it foo and bar.
Mm-hmm.
The alphabetical sorting of those is the sort of the menu.
Okay.
All right. So if you want foo then bar, mm-hmm. where alphabetically that's the way around, you would probably do something like one foo, two bar, right, in the registry
right.
keys, right?
And or then, just change it to boo and far.
Yeah. The order is based on the key, but the actual text on the screen is the default one. And you'll notice in this case there's an ampersand in the middle there. That makes the 6 a hotkey for your keyboard. So if you go Alt 6, that would be selected, right?
Yeah. Here.
And then I think on the x86 ones, I made it Alt 8, right?
Okay.
So this has two verbs. These can be anything you'd like. Has to be a solid name, I believe, and you can't have a space in it. And then for each one of these, you have a command that's going to be called. In this case, call a debugger and then pass in parameter -1. Sometimes you see %V, which is the entire command line. And this is equally as appropriate, but for -1. And so if we look at a dump file, for example, and I've just got a whole lot of dump files hanging around, that's how we end up with these two.
Right.
Right?
So you've created these specially.
Yeah. And so the open X, so if I hold down Alt, whoops, I'm not sure how.
I think if you hit the right, hit the context menu key on your keyboard.
Which I don't have.
Which you don't have on that keyboard.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
The one next to the right-hand side, Alt, is what you're talking about. You would get the underscore.
Underline.
Now, why is x64 the default? That's because up here at the shell level, we've said that open verb is the default. Right, so you don't have to default the first one, right? So that's quite simple. You know, you can make as many as you want. We could make a new one right now. We call it, defrag. And because it's alphabetically first, it's going to be first. And my machine's a bit, and we'll say hello. And then we'll make a new key. When we run this, we run...
Good old notepad.
Notepad, and we're not going to pass a parameter, right?
Which is.
So now when I go in here, hello's there.
And
now that's because of the default, it sorted it up to the top.
Okay.
And then it's going to open notepad.
Very cool.
Right. So that's pretty simple.
You don't even have to restart Explorer or reboot.
Nope. All dynamic. Every time you touch it,
it does it on the fly.
So that's the file level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so all these are based on the context. So if you use the asterisk one, that's any context on a drive, on a directory, on a file, everything, right?
Okay.
So there's at the asterisk level, there's actually a fair few, right? And encrypt and decrypt and stuff like that are ones that are there. Probably not wise to use the star level.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with that if I were.
So directory is kind of the similar, right? I lost it. Directory, right? So let's just make one, right? Just do the same thing. So at the moment, if we go on the directory, we'll go up here. We've got VLCs and bash some Git ones and more VLC, right? So let's make one in here. Same deal as before. We'll call it defrag. And let's call it defrag new command and right? And now, if we do that.
On a folder, okay.
Right. Now this will actually still not have the current directory set or anything like that because you didn't pass it anything.
Right.
So you'll notice, so we noticed we did this at the directory shell level, right? Mm-hmm. And I right-clicked the dump folder, the actual a node, and that's where it turned up. But if I open, click over here in nowhere land, it's not turning up, right?
Okay.
And that's because this is what the background area is.
Directory
you
background.
You have to repeat this over here. And so we'll call this defrag again, and then wow. Easy is not going to work, is it?
That will not work.
Not very easy. And now if I click in here.
There it is.
All right. So you, already it's kind of annoying because you've got to do it twice.
Yeah.
All right. So when we get to the final solution, we actually only have to do it once, which is awesome.
Right.
But we'll get there as we go through. So let's ignore the background one. We'll just focus on this shell one. Actually, we might just use this one because it's nice and... Oh, we'll use this one. So command prompt is already here, right? It's already defined. And the way that it does a command prompt here is it just does a push D, right?
Okay, push
and then
directory.
Push directory, and then minus, percentage V is the parameter, which is like percentage one. Mm-hmm. And PowerShell is the same, right? And in this case, it goes set location, single tick, percentage V.
And so percentage tick. V is passed in as the folder that you are in. Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to get rid of this defrag one just because it's messy. So let's decide that we want to do a elevated command prompt, right?
Yeah.
So currently if we, actually I might just use the background one because it's a bit emptier and cleaner, right? So let's say we want to do an elevated command prompt. So there's a special key called run as, right?
Okay.
So normally you can call it any verb, but this has the special value that it will cause elevation.
Run as will cause elevation.
So I'm just going to copy this.
Copy that.
All right. And now, so we have the Git ones are hanging around. Actually, these Git ones are kind of annoying me. I think the Git ones are, yeah, they're done. Let's get rid of the Git ones for now, just to
get them out of our
get way. Out of the way.
Get them out of our way.
I can
way.
Restore them easily enough. So now, command prompt elevated. Now you notice that the CMD one didn't turn up.
Uh-huh.
That's because it has this extended string in it. Extended means only put it on the shift right click. Right, so we could hide it equally.
Yeah, so that's where the shift right click thing comes.
So if I put extended there now, it's going to disappear, and then if I hold down shift when I do it,
there it is.
Now both of them are there. Command prompt here is going to give me an unelevated, and this one because it's in the run as key
gives
me elevated.
Very right. Cool.
So now we have it elevated.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of great.
Yeah.
If you want one command prompt.
Mm-hmm.
So, because there can only be one key called run as. But if you want to have mm-hmm. command prompt and command prompt elevated, PowerShell and PowerShell elevated,
yes.
Bash and Bash elevated, this whole system breaks down.
Right.
Not
right.
to mention the fact that you have to write all the keys twice, once down here and once up the top.
Right. Once for the background and once for the...
Kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's wind this back a bit. I'm just going to get rid of any damage I've done. And we're now back to the default. Actually, this, I don't ever use VLC for this, so I'm actually going to play God here and get rid of
VLC.
Yeah. So let's look at some registry keys that I've built. So I've got these slowly building up. So this is the very simple case we just did. On the directory in the shell, this happens not to be the background one. There's the one that the OS gave us, mm-hmm. and then we added this run as,
mm-hmm.
right? So the next step is to support, but also the other thing is it's on the front menu, right? Really what we need to do is have two menus, one for PowerShell and one for Command Prompt. That way individually they both can have an open command.
Oh, like a sub.
A subfolder, right?
Sub menu.
So that way they're like, you get this pairing. And that's really what is you can see in this screenshot. We kind of want to give each one the opportunity. And the way it's laid out in the registry is actually the way it's laid out on the screen. Okay. We're going to end up with a little area that's going to have something, currently called CMD, mm-hmm. and run as, and then another area, CMD and run as, right? Yeah. And that means you can have as many run as you want. You are limited to one run as per menu. So instead of having the limitation at this level, mm-hmm. we're deferring it to submenus.
Right.
And that's where it kind of gets complex, because we've never talked about submenus before. And quite frankly, I didn't know what submenus were until 6 a.m. this morning.
When I
looked into this. So let's have a look at how that works. So what we're going to do is, I've only done this for one level, not the background versus foreground. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have. So this is the three areas. So here's the normal shell area, right? So actually, I'm going to merge this in so we can actually, it's probably the easiest way to see this. We'll do it in the regedit. So what we've got here is under the shell, and because I want my command prompt to be at the top, I gave it 0-1 because alphabetically it's going to sort to the top, mm-hmm. right? So my first menu is going to be that. And then instead of having all those command sub ones like everything else has, we're actually going to defer it to another command area. And that's what this is. This extended sub commands key is a reference to another part of the hive. So from here, it's a reference. And so in this case, directory context menus, and I just made an area called context menus. I don't know if that's actually a required word or not, but I called it context menus.
Okay.
And then this is the menu for CMD.
Oh, right? Okay.
And so this whole area is what I've just generated. So this guy's saying, I defer my commands, the sub things, into this thing, mm-hmm. and I am at a multi-UI verb area, and this the parent is going to be called command prompts. The parent is going to be called command prompts.
Okay.
All right? So that's where that comes from. So then I'm going to defer it to here. Now, the great thing about that is I can put the same thing in background and in foreground, and they both point to the context menu area.
Ah, so you don't have to double your effort.
I don't have to dupe it up. And so then the context menu is the same role layout as always before. It's the same as what we did for the dump file under WinDBG. It's the same as the simplistic one down here. I just called it open because I'm making like a standard. I don't care if it's command prompt or command shell or bash. I'm just calling it open and run as each time. Mm-hmm. And then it's just the standard keys each time. The command to call and the value on the screen, right? The text value on the screen.
Right.
So they both point to that. So now, and I also didn't set that extended thing, so it's going to be on the non-shift menu, right?
Right.
So now if I go here, actually did I put it on the background? Oh, here it is, command prompts. Yeah, I was expecting it to be at the top. Command prompts, here's my two.
Very cool.
Right? So because I did it there and it also exists here, so I can go elevated and we'll get what we want. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of, where's my reg file? This is the registration of all the places that you want to point to this place. There's nothing stopping you pointing something from a file one to this location, right? It's just a common area, right?
Right.
And then this is the verbs, this is the two options we've given for each, right? So let's build this up a little bit more. Because at the moment, it's a little bit ugly. There's no icons.
Yeah.
No clue that this is an elevated and this is non-elevated. Is the USC icon missing?
Yeah, it's just pure text.
Yeah, so let's build this up a little bit more. Actually, my example is opposite. Let's add PowerShell as well, right? So this was the command prompt one, and I call this 01 menu command prompt. And then this is just going to add the same thing for PowerShell, right? So mm-hmm. it's roughly the whole thing duped down. And now we get PowerShell and command prompts. And we can continue doing this. We can put it for bash, git. And actually, that's what I'm going to do when I finish this. Those git ones that I retired, I will
put them in here.
Put them in here as a cleanup of it. Right. So The last step is to kind of make it pretty, right? You'll notice at the moment there's no icons, as I said. Yet in my thing here, we've got beautiful icons.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
Pretty icons.
Right? And the trick is there's an icon keyword, there's this has ULA shield icon, and there's the extended thing, which I explained, which is the shift right click versus the non right click. So let's have a look at the last one. And this is the registry file that's on that blog post. What we're doing is, as we're going down, we're just making things pretty, right? Mm-hmm. So on the directory shell for the main menu for command prompts, we're saying use the icon that's in cmd.exe, the default icon. Mm-hmm. I haven't gone like comma minus 3002 because I haven't chosen a different one.
Yeah.
I'm just using the default icon, but you could choose anything you wanted.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's at the parent level, and then this is at the child level. And then the next one down, parent, child. And then for the one that is run elevated, I've also got this has LUA shield one turned on.
Mm.
And so if we merge that in, it's just going to add a whole lot more. And ignore that error for now. That's something that's the next thing I'll talk about. We now have
icons.
Because I put CMD at this level, it's there. Because I put it at this level and this level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll actually will run
LUA shield.
I'll run zoom it. It's very, very tiny. And I don't know how.
There it is.
There you go. There's the icon's on there, right? It's very,
yep.
very tiny, but it's there.
Yep.
And same thing goes with PowerShell. Now, the reason why you saw that error message is at the bottom of the file. We've got some of those, like the Git ones and stuff, actually it's still there, right, are here and noisy, right? Install programs are going to go over and over again. They're going to keep on adding these back, right, when they get updates and stuff like that.
Mm.
So we kind of can't just delete them. But we can hide them in the shift menu,
oh,
right?
Okay.
And so, and we actually might do that right now. So what this does is, right at the end, is for everything that we don't like, we just add the extended word. So
right.
for the Git one, and we might just do that right now. The Git one that I don't like is called Git GUI and Git shell. And so the way that we would fix that is for the foreground and background, actually there is no background because I killed them. Slow typing here. So Git GUI,
yeah,
gut. And shell, yeah, I now have them in that script. The easier way to do this, I won't bother merging it in because all I had to do was do this, which is the same thing.
Doing it the manual way.
The manual way. And now, Git's gone, hold down shift. That was the wrong one.
Yep.
Hold down normal, nice and clean. Hold down shift, Git comes back.
There they are.
Now what you can do, as I said, is you could take this to the nth degree and go, well, these PowerShell ones, let's copy paste them down, make a Git menu, mm-hmm. and have the two Git ones in it. And maybe you're not doing elevated in the nose, maybe it's just, here's Git shell, here's Git bash, right? And bring it down to Git prompts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a little bit of registry tweaking.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll show, I didn't have showed this before, as I was discovering this, is you can type up here. And bring up any program.
You sent that an email earlier. I'm like, I never knew you could. That's essentially a run key.
Yeah.
Or that's a run line, and it automatically defaults to the folder you're in.
Yeah, and so it doesn't even have to know what the command prompt is. It actually makes the current directory that folder.
Yeah.
And so I don't know it has to be something very shelly to kind of know that's that folder. But if I do a du, a system turn, I don't know if I can do a command line. That's a tiny folder. Let's do, I should be able to do it here.
and it's running now, as if you were in that folder and ran that command.
Yeah, now obviously this is going to, when it ends, it's going to close, so you're not going to see the result, but you can type anything you want there. So it's the current folder of that command.
Like, that's just one of those Windows tricks that, like, I've been here all this time, and no one ever taught me that one.
I only learned that one in the last months. Yeah, 1 or 2 months.
That's super.
So cool. just quickly going over the post I wrote, and we'll link across to it. Is that, you know, you have these areas that you are redirecting towards a central command area. That command area. So basically, this area represents these nodes, and this area represents this menu. And you can keep on going and going and going with this technique. You can make a deeper and deeper one if you wanted. Mm-hmm. And then, just make sure you set the icon, make sure you set the LUA shield, and extended is what changes it from shift and not shift. Mm-hmm. Because things are trusted installer, you can't really go playing around with them. And that's actually why you get an error when you run the script, because it's trying to set those extended keys on trusted installer ones, and it's going access denied. Okay. And so it says not all data was successfully written to the registry, and that's what's causing that.
Is certain those things are trusted installer permissions only.
Yeah.
So don't mess with those.
Yeah, so there you go. And that's how you do cascading multi-UI shell menus. And I have been doing this type of tweak to Windows for a decade.
Yeah.
And only this morning did I bother to actually get off my butt and work out how it worked.
You just sort of like hack in there and see what works.
And I'll apologize to the MSDN viewers out there, because the documentation is horrific. And
oh, really?
Lots of people complaining about it. So one of my tasks for today is to log a doco bug.
Okay.
And hopefully get some of this stuff improved a bit.
Yeah, but this stuff's been in Windows since forever.
Oh, yeah, it's old.
Like, this is old Explorer technology, and so it's interesting. It's never really been documented to this extent.
Yeah. One of the things that, it's an enjoyable read, actually. It was an interesting investigation. It's not one of those ones where process monitor really helps. It actually was one of the ones where you just need to go through people's trial and error.
Right.
And a lot of the documentation was written before UAC. And so they go, if you look, search for open command prompt here elevated, they just have a key. Mm. There's no elevated concept.
Yeah.
A lot of the documentation, all the things that you hit when you do a search are a bit old and antiquated. And so you try them and they don't work. So. But hopefully I put this on my MSDN blog. And we'll also link to it from the show notes.
The reg file there, people can grab.
Yeah,
that.
And hopefully I've put in all of the options that kind of make sense. Mm-hmm. The icons and the shields and stuff, so people have a chance to make it look pretty and make it look nice. But don't go insane. Playing with the registries, it's one of those things that you've got to take with a bit of caution.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's easy to screw things up, and then you won't be able to get easily fixed.
Yeah, and as it's always a good idea, like before you screw around, and I actually did this myself, export the whole key and put it back. It doesn't give you security, so there's a slight balance there.
Another thing I sometimes do as a trick before I go mucking around in here is if I have system restore points turned on, just make a restore point. And then if you get too in the weeds and you go in and restore back, and it'll put back your old registry.
Yeah. But I hope you enjoy that. Yeah. Actually, it was quite an interesting little investigation for myself. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So more cool stuff like this next week.
Very cool.
Very cool.
All right. Well, that's our show, as always. If you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down there. Or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.